Welcome in. This is Chris Temple, editor and publisher of the National Investor. We're recording this on Friday, August the 3rd, 2018, and I'm joined again today by Ross Orr. Ross is the president and CEO of BackTech Environmental. It's one of the more intriguing story stocks, as I've termed it, that I've really ever recommended, a company that those of you who have read my report and the past stuff I've written know this, that I followed BackTech for a long time, recommended it about a year or so ago because I saw them starting to check off a few more boxes, able to raise more money and whatnot, and things are accelerating even more on several fronts right now. We're going to get that update today from Ross. So Ross, thanks first of all for joining me today.
No problem, Chris. Good to be here.
Now, really, really quick overview, and of course, those of you who are hearing this story for the first time need to go to my website, nationalinvestor.com, click on Featured Opportunities, and you'll see the story about BackTech, the written report that I did on the company when I first recommended it, and a few updates since then, including one fairly recently, which we're going to touch on a little bit right now in this conversation. BackTech is unique in that it is pursuing what a lot of other people really have dubbed green mining. There are all over the world, but especially in third world and developing nations, there are just countless areas where artisanal mining and small-scale mining is left behind, arsenic-laden and mercury-laden and other blights and eyesores that are affecting people's health in various ways. BackTech has a patented proprietary model that it owns to basically remove the poisons from these old dump materials and also to recover some of the useful metals that were left behind. So that's a Cliff Notes version of what they're all about. We're going to get to that a little bit later. But first of all, Ross, you've made two really significant trips in the recent past to further the cause of BackTech. First of all, to China recently. Tell us a little bit about that and the memorandum of understanding you were able to get while you were over there.
Sure. The number one question we always get, because we're operating, that one of our projects is in Bolivia, is how are you going to finance a project in Bolivia? And they're not wrong. It's a difficult country to raise capital for. You know, they've been in the penalty box for a while because of the fact they haven't exactly been open-armed to mining companies and oil and gas companies. Through a mutual contact here in Toronto, I was asked to come to China to meet a company called CACS, which is an engineering firm that's a subsidiary of Sinomac, which is, that's Mac as an M-A-C-H, I guess short for machinery, a very, very large conglomerate. And effectively, this group, this engineering group, who does a lot of work already in Bolivia, as a lot of Chinese companies do, basically made a proposal to us to engineer the plant once we're finished with the metallurgical testing, which is ongoing right now, and take our flowchart and turn that into an operating engineered project. But the kicker was to provide up to 85% of the financing for the project as well, at what I'm told to believe around 6%, which compared to some of the other deals I've looked at is like nirvana. That means the one thing about mine finances, if they can take advantage of you, they will. And so this was quite a breath of fresh air, and I was there 3 days, and it was a very, very, you know, action-packed, bang, bang, bang meetings, and then I was back on the plane home with an MOU in my pocket. So, you know, the MOU outlines what we have to do over the next, say, 6 months. If we get our results at the end of August from MetSolv in Vancouver, then we could build our flow chart off of that, and then we could go into engineering probably by October the 1st, which means the funds could be released by December, which means we could be building in the first quarter of next year.
That's great. And as I said in the written update that I sent out to our audience a week or so ago, Ross, I know you saw this, that you know, things are really starting to accelerate. A few more pieces are coming together. Hopefully you reach critical mass and you actually can soon commercialize this whole process and start to receive some revenue. So it's great that you were able to get this connection in China, and now you have the means and most of the financing possible to actually build a plant. And I know what you made reference to, of course, in Bolivia is the Telemayu project is the name of that, correct?
Correct.
Right. And this is a massive project down there, and we're going to get to the metallurgy and stuff. And actually, let's do that now before we get to Ecuador. So as far as that tailings project, this is something that you've been dealing with the Bolivian government with for a while. You have, tell us about just generally the size of this thing. You've already put out some news that was very favorable on separating arsenic, and tell us what's next.
Okay, actually, the arsenic, that's not correct, Chris. The arsenic is related to the Ecuador project.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got it conflated. You're right.
Well, that's okay. I mean, there probably is a little bit of arsenic, and we'll deal with that as
right.
well. So Telemayu is an old mill town. It's important that the listeners understand. Our first project, believe it or not, is not a bioleach candidate. All right, it's really the cash flow that'll become the engine to develop the stuff we want to do in Ecuador, Peru, Colombia, etc. We were contacted a number of years ago by Comibol, which is the state mining company of Bolivia. With literally 26 projects they wanted us to look at. Now, if you go back to my remarks that I made earlier on, it's not an easy place to do business. So we decided that if we're going to get involved there, we wanted to provide the least amount of capital, but go after what we felt was the best cherry pie, as it were. So we came across this mill town that produced material from probably three or four different mines over the last 80 years. There's two sets of piles. There's a smaller pile, which is 500,000 tons, that literally contains, I'm gonna say, $225 million worth of metal. I mean, and why? Well, because they were mining and processing 300 ounces of silver per ton. They didn't get 8.2 ounces per ton, which is the grade of the silver in the pile. They didn't even bother with copper. So the copper grade's 1.7%, which is far in excess of what they're producing from in, say, Chile. That's under 1% copper. And then this strange metal called tin that we all remember from tomato cans, you know, is all of a sudden becoming, well, if you ask RTZ and MIT in Boston, It is the metal to be most affected by the coming change in batteries and solar and everything, the new technologies. And tin trades for $20,000 a ton, and lo and behold, it's 50% of the value of this particular pile. Across the river, there's a 4-million-ton pile, and we're not really sure what's there yet. We have a first right of refusal on it. And we'll get to it in year two, but we understand that it might be some rare earths, germanium, gallium, indium, with some zinc and some silver as well. So you literally have mine-grade metal values sitting on surface, but the metal's there for a reason, right? They didn't get it the first time around. And what we're applying, the concept we're applying, is that with the advances in technology and flotation and gravity and other things, that using those today on something that was produced 50 years ago, we hopefully will have a better crack at getting, you know, an economic return on what we're trying to do. We'd like to get between 60% and 70% of that value if we could. And so what we've done is we did a series of metallurgical test work in Bolivia. We wanted to pay money in the local area to show we're committed. And we got fairly decent recoveries of silver and copper, but the tin was not very good. The tin's very fine grain, doesn't float very well. But the guys at Metsolve in Vancouver that I met at PDAC here in March are tin experts, and they're trying a host of different approaches to try and get it. That's a long way of saying by the end of August, we'll know what we should expect to get of the three metals.
Well, that's neat, and so we'll be looking forward to that that news coming out. Let's shift now to Ecuador, Ross. You were down in the country recently. meeting with Carlos Perez, who is the new, I call him super minister down there over both mining and energy and some of the pertinent parts of Ecuador's economy. I just got done with an update for my subscribers, and in fact this very weekend on the Coraline Report, which is one of the places where we'll be posting this interview, I talk about an update of what's going on in Ecuador. A very, very favorable business environment still for mining, and it's become even more so. But one of the things that President Moreno is wanting to do is, at the same time that he's greasing the skids a bit more for large mining companies and for foreign capital to come in and help the country build their industry, at the same time, they're also increasing their efforts to try and clean up a lot of the messes left behind by artisanal mining. So tell us about your conversation with him and what specific projects you're looking at down there that relate to the arsenic that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want to reopen your economy, whether it's oil and gas or mining or whatever, you know, obviously if you can address the locals' concerns as to future pollution and whatnot, it's going to help your cause. So, you know, we come in on the back end of the initial wave of mining that happened over the last 40, 50 years, and which is because of the change in government with Correa. You know, most of the mining companies pulled out, and a lot of the small miners, sort of like water through cracks, just came in and sort of picked up a lot of the assets and just started producing arsenopyrite in this area, which we call Ponce Enriquez, down in southwestern Ecuador. Yeah, you know, these particular tailings that they're producing, which sit about 1,000 meters above sea level, up the western flank of the Andes Mountains, are literally at capacity. And, you know, they have been introduced to flotation, so they are producing float cons now, and they're selling that material very cheaply to the Chinese because of the arsenic content. They went back to the government and said, look, we need more capacity for our mines. And the government said, forget it. I mean, if you have an earthquake or a 100-year storm, that stuff's going to come flying down that mountain, and it's going to wipe out the village, which is basically the town of Ponce Enriquez. So they said, you either have to get rid of that stuff, and, you know, so that you can make your own capacity, or we're going to shut you down. It's as simple as that. So it was on that idea that we said, well, a bioleach plant built down on the coastal plain, you know, trucking material downhill full and going back up empty, you know, there's a good chance that we could process this material and capture the gold that's there. You know, we're told it's 2 to 6 grams per ton. You know, the one thing we do know globally, having looked at tailings, is everybody's a liar. I mean, it's always it's always way overstated all the time. So right now what we're trying to do is we're trying to, through the Minister of the Environment, get a handle on these 40 or 50 tailings piles that run along this, you know, this 1,000 or 1,500 meters above sea level, and try to find the ones that have the best grade, because that's where you want to start, obviously, to get your capital back. But also the tonnage. I can't tell you if there's 5,000 tons there or 50 million. I mean, and this is the homework that we have to do. Now, in anticipation of this, though, because we wanted to make sure that our technology could actually work, we shipped about 150 kilos of material up to Laurentian University in Sudbury, Canada, which is, Sudbury is the home of Inco. It's, you know, it's the big nickel area. We, in conjunction with the university, and in particular Dr. Nadia Mikachik, we did about 6 months of bioleach test work on arsenic grades that run between 7% and 13% in a concentrate. Now, to put that in perspective, you're not allowed to burn more than 1% arsenic at any given time, and then there's also a cap on the amount of tons that you can do in a given year. So if you're a miner, you've got to go sell this material to the market. They're going to say, ooh, look at the arsenic. You're not going to get a lot for this. And they tend to get sort of 50 cents on the dollar for very good gold-grade concentrates, but happen to be full of arsenic. I'm rambling here, but it's not an easy story to tell.
Right.
So we spent 6 months doing bioleach work. And as a matter of fact, just this morning, I sent the 3-page summary of the test work down to Ecuador as part of a technology package that we're submitting to the Minister of the Environment and to Mr. Senor Perez as well. Effectively, what we're saying is we got all the arsenic. I mean, we pulled it all out of the rock, and then we precipitated it out as a ferric arsenate. And then we use this terminology called TPLC, which effectively says, will this stuff re-energize itself if it's left to its own? And the answer was no. We were way below the minimum grade that the EPA demands. So successful. Now, while we were doing that, though, we didn't spend a lot of time on the gold recovery. And the gold recovery came in at 85%, which, believe it or not, sounds pretty good, but it's probably 10% below where it should be. So we're going to go back and do phase two. And phase two will incorporate what the Ecuadorians want to see from their environmental perspective, as well as how much gold are we going to get out of this, you know, to pay ourselves at the end of the day.
That's neat. And so one of the things that, of course, that this gives rise to ultimately, if all goes well, is that you're actually, and I've seen some of this news, you've shared some of these anecdotes with me, but you're a company that is able to reprocess old tailings, clean up the environment, and actually, when from time to time you have opposition to companies in the mining sector, you're actually getting support from environmentalists and NGOs, aren't you?
Pretty tough for an NGO to complain about what you're doing when you're trying to clean up a mess, right?
I mean, that's right.
It just sort of flies right in the face of what they're trying to do. So
that's right.
No, you're right. And that's why we tend to bristle sometimes when people call us a mining company, because we're not. I mean, yes, I'm paid in metal, but if you paid me in bananas that I can convert to cash, you can do that too. I mean,
sure.
We don't dig a hole in the ground. We fill them in. That's the way we sort of look at it.
It's a good story, folks. Again, BackTech Environmental. The symbol in Canada, in the Canadian Securities Exchange, is BAC. In the U.S., on the over-the-counter market, it is BCCEF. Again, if you want more information, their website is backtechgreen.com. Mine, of course, is nationalinvestor.com. And for BackTech's story, click on Featured Opportunities. And if you have any questions on this, because we can't, of course, cover everything as we would like to in a relatively short amount of time, just shoot me an email, chris@nationalinvestor.com. We'll get your questions to Ross, and we'll get back to you. Ross, thanks for joining me on this, at least here in Florida, where we've had some storms lately, a fairly calm and beautiful Friday.
Thanks, Chris. Can I just add one more thing?
Sure.
I write sort of a very very tongue-in-cheek sort of update twice a year, and we're putting it out tomorrow morning it's an email blast through our, we've got about 2,500 people that follow us, believe it or not. So we're going to be sending that out tomorrow morning. If anybody's interested, it'll probably end up on the website as well. But it's just sort of an update, but in layman's terms, you know what I mean? Without too many glitzy, you know, mining terms and whatnot.
Great. So,
yeah.
Well, we'll make sure people can get that also, and they can get it at your site.
Great.
Great. Well, thanks again, Ross.
Okay. My pleasure.